I'm pretty confident talking into a mic. Hey, I'm doing it right now. But home projects, I second guess everything. Is that noise normal? Is that water damage? Who do I even call? That's where Thumbtack comes in. Just upload a photo or voice note, and it uses AI-powered search to match you with the right top-rated local pro. So instead of guessing, you get clarity and can hire with confidence. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's another off-season edition of Spits and Suds, and boy, do we have so much to talk about. Can we all get it in about 30 minutes? We're certainly going to try, because our NHL / Stars insider, Sean Shapiro, joins us. We're proudly presented on Spits and Suds by the On Time Experts. The On Time Experts makes it happen. Why? Because they support local hockey in DFW as the official HVAC company of the Dallas Stars, of Spits and Suds. You go to the game, you see the Zamboni going around the ice, it says the On Time Experts. The ribbon around the arena says the On Time Experts. And they have two amazing specials. The first special is $59, first-time customer. They will gut your HVAC, make sure that it is optimized. They'll clean it, get rid of that dust, that grime. I know that I actually got a tweet from our friend Andrew Epps, and he said, "Gavin, I'm listening to the podcast with Sean. You really keep your AC and temperature on 80, 81. Yes, I do. And you know what? I actually turned it up because it was actually cool in my house, because my AC is working really well, and less pressure on the AC because it's working really well. And that means less power bill. So you're saving money. And they also have that $99 first-time customer complete drain cleaning for your first floor. That's special as well. It's a same-day service guaranteed. So if you call today, they'll show up today. If you call tomorrow or Saturday, they'll show up that day. And they are going to keep you apprised of their situation throughout the day. So no, you're not going to sit there from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. until a technician shows up. You'll know exactly when they're showing up. Trained technicians, they do an amazing job. They sit down with you, tell you what's going on with your system. I can't say enough good things about the On Time Experts. Nearly 6,000 reviews, 4.8 out of 5 stars. That says it all. The On Time Experts at theontimeexperts.com. We thank them so much for sponsoring Spits and Suds. What a week for Sean Shapiro, straight off the PWHL draft last night. You can read his Substack, which had that and so much more information. It's called Shap Shots. Also, he writes for D Magazine. Algorithmically Incorrect, a brand new episode dropped with Robert Tiffin yesterday. I chimed in and watched it for a little bit. Don't tell the bosses at work, but I certainly did that because I enjoy when Robert and Sean get together. Hey, Sean, how are you, buddy?
I'm pretty good, Gavin. Did you catch the slip of the tongue and the part when I called Robert Gavin?
No, I did not. So wow. What an insult to Robert.
It was, I said somewhere Gavin must be listening. He probably gave a nice fist bump into it in the middle of a meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. I did hear that you're going to have Steven Meserve coming up. So, yep. So I heard that. And I thought that was really good. Yeah. I mean, I enjoy it. So my Algorithmically Incorrect is like chiming in for a little bit, but because I'm working, got to listen to my own station. So I chime out, and then at home at night, like, I get little bits and pieces. So I really enjoy the program, Sean. I really hope it takes off. I can tell you guys are having fun, and I really like that you guys get to have those free flow discussions that you guys want to have.
Yeah, and that's been a big thing for Robert and I, to kind of go and just be kind of allowed to just have some fun with and talk about various stuff, whether it's whether it's talking about just like yesterday, we intentionally did no guest yesterday because we wanted to try like, hey, it's end of the season. Let's talk about some lessons from this hockey season, obviously NHL stuff, but in addition to the NHL as well. And that was, it's been a ton of fun. And, obviously we had Jason Demers on the week prior. It's been a really kind of fun way to just to test some stuff out, and have some fun with it. So I appreciate everyone who supported it, you as well, Gavin, and everyone out there. So just please keep checking it out. And it's whether you're watching it on YouTube or we also stream it on the simulcast it onto both Robert and I Substacks, or just listen to the audio whatever podcast platform you prefer. It's been a ton of fun, and it's been kind of cool to have some freedom with that as well. And so it's been a lot of fun.
Well, I don't know I didn't get to the part if you talked about this, but I started reading this article and watching, and I started laughing. Kelly McCrimmon, who is the general manager, has responded to the widespread league hatred and criticism, and he attributes it to jealousy, naming all their Western Conference Finals and Stanley Cup appearances. And I just started laughing because in my head, I was quickly adding up. And he even made note of one of them, which we all know was the Mark Stone coming back. And whether he likes it or not, you know, people were frustrated with that rule. But that said, you know, now all of a sudden saying Bruce Cassidy can coach and that we've received some permission slips for that. So he came out with that. I didn't think the jealousy aspect was the best choice of words, Sean. I mean, I don't know why he even needed to talk about it, but I just feel like the heel is digging in. Heel's a wrestling term for bad people. I just feel as though the heel's digging in and the boos are going to get louder.
When it comes to Vegas and Kelly McCrimmon, I'll always remember because I covered covering the 2023 Stanley Cup. Was this 2023 or 2020? Yeah, 2023 Stanley Cup Finals when they beat Florida. And I remember both the press conference with Kelly McCrimmon before the final and after. And he always has this attitude of telling people how he's right and everyone else is wrong. And it definitely rubs people the wrong way. It rubs me the wrong way sometimes. But I think there's the lack of humility that comes with Vegas sometimes is, I think, what gets me. And it's not jealousy, right? Like, I don't think there's any jealousy of like, oh my God, correct, Vegas is good. Like, if it was just that, like no one hates the Florida Panthers, right? Like you might hate the Florida Panther playing against them, or you might dislike the way they do things, but like you don't see, like, if you were to say, oh, it's jealousy or whatever, like that's not what it is. It's the way you operate. It's the way Vegas is willing to kind of bend the moral,
yes,
ethical view of things, right? Whether it's the Bruce Cassidy stuff right now, which it's so ridiculous, right, and just cheesy with the whole, like, I'll let him interview on a case. Even in that same press conference, he said, I'll let him interview on a case by case basis, right? Like, you have your coach for next year. You don't have any plans for Bruce Cassidy. Just let him go. Yeah. Right. Yep.
Carter Hart, exactly, like it or not.
Yes. And Carter Hart, and the way that they've also had no issue disposing of player. Like, every team has made tough cap calls, but there's been a ton of, like, just the way that they have just gone and had no issue. No issue basically bending the rules and bending kind of the way others view them. And that is, if you want to operate that way, you need to just accept it and operate that way. That's just, I get kind of frustrated with that one. So
I just thought it was an interesting choice of words. And Vegas had a big announcement yesterday that they have a new head coach. Ryan Craig is 44 years old, and he will replace John Tortorella. And McCrimmon did mention that Torts did want to come back to the Golden Knights, but they felt as though Ryan Craig's time was here. He's been with the organization for 9 years, three as the head coach of the Henderson Silver Knights, and he was also an assistant in Vegas. So wanted to get your thoughts on that, as well as a new head coach for the Toronto Maple Leafs, as Jim Hiller, formerly of the LA Kings, who was let go by the Kings in season, was hired by the Toronto Maple Leafs, as well as the NHL comes out with a statement with Mike Babcock saying the investigation is over and that Mike Babcock is cleared to return to the NHL.
Yeah. Let's start with Vegas, because I saw that Henderson team play. I saw that Henderson team play actually back in April. Pretty wild 7-6 game against the, I believe it was against Bakersfield Condors, and I think he's a good coach. He's got a. His team plays a style that's really disciplined, builds from the back well. I think it's a good hire. It goes against what Vegas has typically been about, just because they've typically gone with the veteran coach who comes in and kicks some butt or whatever you want to call it. Right. So there's kind of that. And then, it's like they said they didn't want, one of the reasons they said they kind of went with John Tortorella too was it was kind of toxic and they didn't want to put a young coach in that situation. And so I know they let John Tortorella go, and I'm not one here to defend John Tortorella after some of the other things we've talked about with him, but Is really one kumbaya playoff run with John Tortorella running the thing? Does that somehow make this not toxic for your new coach who was coaching the AHL? I don't know. It's a fascinating kind of space right here on all of that. So there's some thoughts for me on that. I don't like the Jim Hiller hire for Toronto. To me, is very you go and you talk about, hey, we're going to look outside the box and we're going to make all these, we're going to look at all these guys. And we're going to interview Joe Pavelski, and Joe Pavelski did interview for the job. And they even interviewed Pat Feshweiler, the coach over at Western Michigan. And then you go and hire Jim Hiller, who was an assistant with Mike Babcock before and has just been not a great NHL coach and made some bad decisions in the playoffs before. So it just adds to the bafflement for me of what Toronto's doing, just to be blunt. And I don't know, maybe my only thought on the Toronto thing is, if you're doing it, is there must be some Austin Matthews connection with Jim Hiller, where you're like, okay, this is him and Matthews are going to have a connection standpoint from the past that's going to help us keep Austin Matthews. Because when you think about Matthews and Gavin McKenna now going to be in Toronto, being the number one pick later next week, you need to find a way to keep Matthews on board. And so that's my only. That's my assumption here on that. Yep. And then the whole Mike Babcock stuff going on with Edmonton, right? Like, I just, whether all of the other stuff aside, how he didn't get the job in Columbus, what happened in Columbus, his past history. If you want to go look up Johan Franzen's thoughts on Mike Babcock, like, please do. That's it is. He also hasn't been a good coach. Like, yes, his style doesn't work in today's NHL. So, like, what is – so I can't help but just kind of wonder what the heck they're what the heck some of these decisions are by some of these teams, because I mean Edmonton in particular, and if you're and allegedly Vegas is going to let, on a case-by-case basis, they're going to let Bruce Cassidy interview, and so yeah, if you're Edmonton, yeah, why are you not circling back on that one before Mike Babcock, of all people?
Oh, absolutely. And you know how many are left for, yeah, Cassidy now? That, yeah, it's just it's interesting. The only thing that I'll say about Vegas, in a good way, at least it's some fresh blood, because I think we've talked about this, seems as though the recycling of coaches in the NHL, it's, yeah, just, you know, from here to there.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Okay. Interesting trade yesterday that I wanted to get your thoughts of. Michael Kesselring traded to the San Jose Sharks by the Buffalo Sabres, and the teams swap first round picks to make it happening. So Buffalo moves up from 27 to 20, but San Jose keeps the 27th pick and gets Kesselring. Sean, we talked about it when the Jim Gregory Award came out. I really like what, I really like what San Jose is doing as an organization, and Mike Greer leading the way as far as their rebuild. Kesselring has 1 year left on his contract. I really like this move because you've only fell seven spots. You stay in the first round, Sean, and you get a guy that didn't work out in Buffalo, but could be top six defenseman for you.
Yeah, I think it was and with this draft and for San Jose, with I don't mind moving back. Like we talked about this draft, Gavin, being after kind of that first four or five players, there's probably a second tier in the top 10 to 12 players. And then after that, I could see anyone, there's a ton of players, depending on the team, ranked anywhere from, you're probably getting a very similar player at 20 and 27. And so for the Sharks, for a team that is, I like the way Mike Greer is building that team. I like the way they're being smart about it. And I like the way that they are kind of, obviously the window and everything is you build around Macklin Celebrini. And mm-hmm. why wouldn't you? Of course. So I like the way that they're kind of going about doing that. I think it's good value, and everyone, if sometimes when you talk about trading back, you talk about doing it to pick up more picks, but if you can pick up assets like that for basically just a pick swap, that's pretty well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Quick thoughts on Ross Colton being traded to the Predators by the Avalanche for a couple of draft picks and Magnus Crona?
Yeah, interesting one always to see after, obviously, the old GM of the Avalanche leaves to go to Nashville, and then he goes and gets his old guy from Colorado. So Ross Colton was always one of his guys, from my understanding, so it makes a ton of sense. That Nashville job is going to be a hard build. Just let's call it what it is, right? Like, I think there's obviously some pieces, but just the nature of that division, that we know with Dallas and Minnesota and Colorado, like the bloodbath it is above them. Ross, you need some Ross Colton type players. And So I don't know how much better Nashville got. Like, does it change my prognosis of what the Predators are going to do? But I do think that's how you use picks, that when you've got kind of a surplus the way Nashville does.
All right, let's move to the PWHL. Sean was at the draft last night. And for those people that say, well, I don't want to talk, you know, PWHL. Listen, this to me was fascinating. You built a league and then what, Sean, days prior, no one knew what order they were drafting?
Yeah, the we didn't get the draft order. There was no draft order until Monday. That's when the league reveals the draft order. And there was expansion last year, right? There was expansion last year. And last year when they did expansion, they did the two expansion teams picked at the end. This year you did, it was Seattle and Vancouver. Vancouver and Seattle, 1 and 2, because of the gold plan thing they have. And then they randomly went to the new expansion teams, and then the two play teams that missed the playoffs, and then the playoff teams. Like, it was just, it doesn't make a ton of sense. And apparently it was a random draw for the order of the expansion teams. And so then at that same time, right, like Hillary Knight, it comes out nine or 10 days ago that the Detroit is getting Hillary Knight and basically a sign and trade with Vegas. And it comes out that, oh, Detroit's going to send their first round pick to Vegas for it, before they even knew where they were going to pick. And then they have their draw for the draft order on Monday. And the trade goes through at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, just even though everyone in the league says, oh, well, there was no agreement on this. Okay. There's no way, like, I mean, so Detroit willingly basically ends up trading the number three pick in the draft for the player that is probably the biggest marketing tool in the league. Like, let's be honest about Hillary Knight's stature and standing and everything. But, like, it was a fascinating crash course into the PWHL for me the past couple of days, because I've covered takeover games before and been around it before, but getting to be around the Jenna Hefford, who runs the league, and a bunch of other people, the PWHL, and I really want it to succeed, but there's a lot of it that has just the vibe of, we're doing our own thing, and we can, in a single ownership model with all 12 teams are owned by the Walter family. We can do what we want. We really don't have to explain it. And on one hand, I understand you sometimes have to have a little bit of that early on in a league to get it off the ground. But maybe that's something when you got four teams or six teams. You're up to a 12-team league. You're trying to bring new fans in. And I thought there was a comment from one of the PWHL board members, because I was in the press conference on Tuesday about it. And they're like, oh, well, people are fans of teams. I don't think people would stop being a fan of a team because a player changes teams. And that's completely a misread of how fans are today, right, Gavin? There's so many people who are fans of, like, it's sports are now more player driven than ever before, right, Gavin? Right. Like, you just from a PWHL perspective, like my daughter is going to be a Detroit fan, I'm sure, because it's going to be the team we'll take her to go see games from. But she's a huge Abby Rock fan. Her favorite player is Abby Rock, and her favorite player re-signed with Montreal yesterday. And so I guarantee you, when she's going to be a Montreal fan because that's where her favorite player signed. And there's hockey fans like that as well, right? Where people do, I mean, not hockey fans, there's NHL fans like that as well. There's people who follow their favorite players. And if you're just basically funneling around one of the faces of the league from market to market, three times in 3 years, it feels kind of hokey. Just going to be honest about it. I'm happy. You know what? Like, it's great. I'm in Detroit. I'm going to get to it. Hillary Knight's a great interview. It's going to be great for this Detroit team. But what's going to stop from potentially next year, all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, you know what? We really need to boost some attendance in Hamilton. Hillary, how about you head to Hamilton? Right.
Right. Well, like, that's fascinating. Yeah. You're right, because here's Seattle coming into the league last year, and they have Hillary Knight, they have Hannah Bilke, and they had Kayla Barnes, and all of a sudden, you know, even Corinne Schroeder was their goaltender. All those players are gone after 1 year. Like, as if I'm a fan of the Seattle Torn, I'm like, wait a minute. I lost all my good players. I just came into the league. What happened?
Yeah.
It's just, it was fascinating. But you get to cover Capel's Hannah Bilke. So that's pretty awesome.
Yep. I'm looking forward to that. She's obviously a great player, and hoping to definitely. It's going to be a. It's kind of cool to see that as someone obviously who has their connection to Dallas and now being here. I'm pretty excited about all of that. So
where are they going to end up playing in Detroit?
They're going to play at Little Caesars Arena, so they're going to play where the Red Wings play. So it's going
to
be.
What do you think that draw will be?
I'm fascinated to see what the day to day is like, what it's going to be from a, I'm fascinated to see what a Tuesday night is going to be, but I would imagine to start the season with 30 home games. Like, they had 14,000 for the one-offs, and obviously that's not sustainable, but if I could see them drawing 6,000 to 8,000 regularly, I think that's not I don't think that's unrealistic with what you have there. I hope it's more, but I think one of the challenges is going to be, and it's just the reality, where do you have how do you go and build a regular audience when it's not just planned? Like, I think about those takeover games, and like, I don't know if you went to the takeover game in Dallas, Gavin, or not, but I know Robert was there.
Yeah.
And like, the takeover game they did in Dallas, right? Like, all the local girls hockey teams are at the game, right? All the local girls hockey teams aren't going to plan, they're not going to plan 30 team trips in a year, right?
So, right.
So they might plan two or three, but they're not planning 30. So,
yeah.
For the 30 home games. So,
no, that's true.
Evening, buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Hey, let's end on this. Let's get our little stars fix in. Texas's tax advantage. Leah Simakopoulos tweeted this out. The experts at AFP Consulting project Stars forward Jason Robertson's market value at $96 million, an annual average value of $12 million. So what they did was, here's how that contract would compare to other NHL markets. And here's my question: with state income taxes, Sean, at this level, in all your years talking to players, does it really matter? So that $12 million, just to let you know, if San Jose wanted to sign him, $15.38 million. Chicago, it would equal $12.9 million. Detroit, $13.34 million. Pittsburgh, $13.25 million. And New York, $14.2 million. So quickly, do players look at that, Sean?
To an extent, I think it's... The reality for me is this: players want to win, and this is going to sound funny, but the tax money, to me, it's a big deal, but a lot of times it's more about public perception. And since contracts have gone public, and it depends on the player, but to me, it's more of the public perception of your worth more so than your take home that matters. Right? Like Jake Oettinger probably makes similar take home to like what is Igor Shesterkin's salary right now, right? Like, it's like he is like Shesterkin's got a salary of, he's got a cap hit of 11.55 million, right? Like, when you look at the take home though, him and Oettinger are probably making a similar amount, but Shesterkin wants to be treated like the best goalie in the NHL. And those cap hits are how we largely define players. And honestly, making more against the cap sometimes matters more than the take home. I think the reality is, and this is going to sound once again horrible because I think some guys do care more about their money than others, but I don't know how much Jason Robertson's life probably doesn't change whether he's making $8 million, $10 million, $12 million, or $25
million. Yeah, correct.
Right. Like, just honestly, like, he's like, it's money into the account. Like, money, they are at a level of money where for the everyday person like you or I, we cannot comprehend that level of money, right? Like, correct. It is. So it's so much more about pride and ego and measuring yourself in competitiveness than what the take home is. And the state tax does matter a little bit, and it's an advantage. But at the end of the day, and I go back to this big thing, what drives salaries in the NFL? It has nothing to do with state tax. We never hear about state tax in the NFL, right? We never hear about it. If state tax was the difference, the Cowboys would have had won a Super Bowl by now, right? Like, it's so, it's in the NHL, and it's something that really only came up. It's really only became a big deal when Florida and Tampa started winning. And then obviously Vegas did as well. Like, show me someone complaining about, and I know Seattle's tax situation is about to change. The state tax situation is one of the most overblown things in the league. It really is, in my view. It's at the end of the day, players want to make a lot of money. They care about it, but they want to win. They want to be happy. And it's pretty good to be. If you are someone who cares about the lights and glimmer of New York City, it's a pretty good spot to be and make that much money, right? Like, there's yep. advantage. It's like, if you really think, and I want to be very clear on this, I think it's good work. I read that piece at the Morning News, and obviously they sourced out their valuation to my pal Kyle Stitch, actually, who was a guest on Algorithmically Incorrect in the first couple weeks. But even as Kyle told us, the state tax in most cases is highly overblown when it comes to these decisions. There are times where Chris Tanev cared about it more than some others. I don't know how much it actually, at the end, like, I think about like the Dylan Larkin situation that's going on with Detroit. I know early on he's listing a bunch of state tax teams without state tax on his list, but his list is actually, I want to play with my pal Matthew Tkachuk. I want to play with my friend, I want to play with Hughes, or I want to play with my pal Jack Eichel. It's more about that than the actual state tax stuff. And that pushes against the narrative, I realize, and someone's going to tell me I'm wrong, and I'm fine with that. I just, at the end of the day, I have not seen players care more about that than they do about the raw cap number, because that's how they're competitive. They want to be the most paid this or that or whatever when it comes to things. So I hope that makes sense, because it's just like,
it totally does. Yeah. And once again, a podcast that we got everything that we wanted in, and Elliot Friedman's already reporting that the discussions to hire Mike Babcock in Edmonton are happening right now. So there we go.
Yeah.
Sean, what do you have coming up with your Shap Shots or Elite Prospects?
I've got a piece coming up, Elite Prospects piece coming up this weekend, not a Dallas kid, but a Sun Belt connection. There's a kid named Leo Gill who has been selected to play at the 16U National Showcase up in upstate New York next week. Kid who's from Florida and is kind of stuck in Florida with the has decided to stay in a Sun Belt state and continue playing Double A hockey despite a bunch of people trying to tell him to go Triple A and leave and go to a prep school or everything like that. So story on kind of that, just a kind of some Sun Belt hockey pride there. And then I'll have something tomorrow over at Shap Shots as well, just probably couple more reflections from the PWHL draft. I obviously had the feature there yesterday on the couple of the European players that made the decision to come over, which was something that I found fascinating on when you make that leap and everything like that. And they were very pragmatic about it. But something a little bit more just kind of on reflections and thoughts on the league, having thought about it for about 24 to 48 hours after the draft itself.
All right. Well, thank you for calling Robert Tiffin, Gavin Spittle. I take that as the utmost compliment, sir.
Yes.
I don't think Robert will, but I will. So thank you for that, sir. And yeah, absolutely. Have a great weekend. We will catch up next week. It is unbelievable all the stuff that we have to talk about in this offseason. Draft upcoming. You are all over it. I saw on NHL.com, they have some draft profiles as well on a couple products that I'm really interested in. J.P. Herbert from Allen and just a whole list of stuff. So really, really cool stuff upcoming. And then we have free agents upon us. Have a good weekend, my friend. Thanks for getting everything in.
Yeah, always fun, Gavin. I really appreciate it.
All right, you can find all of Sean's stuff at Sean Shapiro. His Substack is Shapshots. He writes for D Magazine. As mentioned, he'll have an article coming out this weekend, Elite Prospects. And came out yesterday, algorithmically incorrect is the way to go with him and Robert Tiffin. Just go to YouTube and search it and then subscribe. It helps them out a great deal. Thanks to producer Gregory Finley. Thanks to the on-time experts. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.